Song of Solomon 4 begins, "Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are like doves behind the veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats flowing down the slope of Gilead. Your teeth are like shorn ewes coming up just from washing, each bearing twins. Your lips are like a scarlet thread. Your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like the halves of pomegranates." You get the idea. And then Song of Solomon 8 has these words: "Set my love like a seal upon your heart, like a seal upon your arm. Love is as strong as death, and jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can a flood drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, it would be scorned." Many years ago, the Krimmer family decided to take a quick camping trip with some days off from school. And optimists that we were, we took off in a driving rainstorm and we went to a store to look at kitchen canopies. And my ever thrifty wife said, "Oh, let's wait till they're on sale." And I said, "Honey, it's raining now." And rain it did, pretty much two solid days. And so on that Tuesday morning, when we packed up our vast load of wet stuff in the van, I was very curious as to know how my children would evaluate this trip, because each of them chronicled it in their journals. Each of my boys wrote 5 pages about the trip. One of them mentioned rain once. The other didn't mention rain at all. No, the bulk of their journal had to do with the magnificent creek that ran along our campground and the beautiful large salamander they had managed to capture, and how after a long journey along that magnificent creek, we returned to the campsite to find that the salamander had managed to escape the large white pail that had been its cage. Rain, thunder, lightning, cold, discomfort. But all of those were just mere annoyances. Our children had sliced through those annoyances to see the essence of things. We had been on a journey of adventure, and the climax of the adventure was the catching of the salamander, and the tragedy of the adventure was the salamander escaped. One of my boys said to me solemnly, "Dad, I have entitled this trip, The Salamander Climbed Out." His mother would have entitled it 17 Loads of Wet Laundry. But those were just the facts. My children had sliced through the facts to understand the essence of our journey. It had been a journey of adventure. We had ventured out, we had found, we had lost, and we had learned in the process. The Song of Solomon slices through all of the mundane details of relationships
to see the very essence of love. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. What does the poet see that we so often miss? As a pastor, I am privileged to behold that moment when a bride comes through the doors of the sanctuary looking as beautiful as she ever will. And her eyes catch the eyes of her husband-to-be dressed in his regalia, and their eyes meet. And often a tear rolls down each face. And it occurs to me, I am watching two people on the threshold of a great adventure. And yes, while children cry out of pain, it takes a level of maturity to cry out of joy. And as that bride is coming down the aisle, her husband should be thinking of those words of Solomon. You are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. And she should be thinking of those words of the psalm, of the Solomon song. Love is as strong as death. Its flashes are flashes of fire. Set the seal of your love upon your heart. Set the seal of your love upon your arm. Many waters cannot quench our love. The language of the Song of Solomon depicts love as passionate and intense, and yes, royal. Royal. And immediately our modernist sensibilities are violated. We think that the Song of Solomon, like fairy tales, only equates love with the powerful and the beautiful and the prominent, the royal. But the fairy tales and Solomon have it right. It's the modernist. We have it wrong. In 40 years of ministering, I have officiated at the weddings of some of the homeliest people that God and genetics ever brought into being. But when they're standing before God at the altar, in the presence of their friends and their loved ones, their eyes slice through all external circumstances, and they behold the essence of each other, and they see only beauty. Some of you longtime lovers can remember the day, maybe even the very hour, when you knew that you had met your soulmate. Maybe it was the first time you saw them. Maybe it was after 10 years of knowing them, but in one moment, suddenly your eyes pierced all external circumstance and you saw someone's inner beauty and it pulled you like a magnet. And I hope it still does. Song of Solomon in the fairy tales, they have it right. Love, romance entails people of beauty, of importance, of royalty. But it is love that makes them so. If you don't believe me, try a little experiment. Husbands, for the next 48 hours, look at your wife as if she was a beautiful princess. Speak to her like you would a princess. Treat her like you would a princess. Do for her like you would a princess. Touch her like you would a princess. And wives, I know this might require some imagination, but look upon your husbands as you would a high and handsome prince. For once he was in your eyes. Speak to him as you would a prince. Touch him as you would a prince. Do for him as you would a prince. If you will treat each other as prince and princess for 48 hours, you might find a magic returning to your relationship that has been lacking. I have tried this experiment, and I tell you, it works. But it is hard to maintain. I say that to my chagrin and my shame. The people who are wisest in love have the ability to make their beloved feel like the most special person on earth. Treat each other as royalty and discover a new magic. But Song of Solomon and the fairy tales, they're not true because they present the path and narrative of love as so smooth. No. What gives fairy tales their friction is the fact that love is an elusive and difficult adventure. Even in the Song of Solomon, if you'll follow the narrative, you'll find a series of quarrels that lead to temporary estrangements. Many fairy tales bring lovers together at the start of it, only to have them enter into some disagreement that splits them apart seemingly forever. When my daughter Clara was a child, her favorite movie was an animation film of the Swan Princess story, where two young lovers are about to be wed when the princess asked the prince, "What do you see in me besides my physical beauty?" And the young man has brain lock and can't think, express all that he's feeling, and he blurts out, "What else is there?" Wrong answer. And the rest of the movie is him endeavoring by word and deed to explain to her that it is her courage and her creativity and her carriage and her character that makes him love her so deeply. Even the Bible underscores the fact that love is hard. Name me a great couple in the Bible. Adam and Eve lied to each other, accused each other under pressure. Abraham and Sarah, long marriage, but marked by moments of dishonesty. Yeah, that fairy tale story where Jacob works 7 years and then 7 years more for Rachel. That's lovely. But it's not surprising he falls prey to Laban's deception because he comes out of a family that practices deceit. And destructive family patterns are recapitulated. Even Mary and Joseph have a moment of tension where Joseph is prepared to divorce her quietly. No. In fairy tales and in scripture, love is always a privileged ordeal. Years ago, they had these promise keeper rallies around the country, where guys would fork out $70 to go into a coliseum only to be told, "Hey, those vows you took at the altar, they're heroic promises." I would tell my church members, hey, save yourself $70 and just read your children fairy tales. They make the same point. Love is an adventure. Rivers must be forded. Mountains must be climbed. Dragons must be slain. Spells must be broken. The spell that most of us have to break is the spell of dullness. It's the spell of taking each other for granted. Solomon's words, set your love like a seal upon my heart, like a seal upon my arm. Love is as strong as death. Those aren't dull words. Those are heroic words, as heroic as people who come to this altar and say, I cherish you for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love you and cherish you until death do us part. Fairy tales and the scripture note that the world does not like love, that it tries to push lovers away. That's why in fairy tales you have tyrannical sorcerers and wicked stepmothers and vicious kings and jealous queens. They're just symbols of the pressure in real life to push us away from our beloved. I think of that biblical fairy tale love story where Saul says to David, you want to marry my lovely daughter? Then go kill 100 Philistines. And David rises to the challenge. And yet, the everyday dreariness, the busyness of busyness, quenches their affection. So by the time the prince gains the princess, there is no real love there. I sometimes ask couples in premarital counseling, has anybody said to you, don't get married? Things were great in our relationship until we got married? Yeah. What do you think they mean by that? They shrug. They mean by that while they were dating, they worked at their relationship. They governed their priorities. They ordered their schedule. They centered their life around making their beloved happy. Then they got married and thought, I don't have to work at love anymore. But that's a wrong assumption. Love is something that has to be worked at with all of your being. There's a reason why in fairy tales there are so many stories of drugs and spells that make people insensate to their blessing. Because often you and I regard the great gift of love for our beloved as a blessing to be ignored, assuming that love will just grow naturally is as dangerous as assuming that spirituality will just grow naturally. And yet, true lovers never take the easy way out. Marlo Thomas, those of you who know that girl, and Phil Donahue, her husband over 40 years, are getting ready to publish a book about what makes love last. And one of the couples they interviewed said, you have to enter into love with no plan B. Whatever you have to face, you have to say there's no plan B. That
that is difficult for many people because love requires us to be completely vulnerable to our beloved. And it opens itself up to a pain like no other pain on earth. But to open your being completely to someone else in trust and to have that trust reciprocated is a blessing like none other on earth. And that's why the fairy tales say of lovers, they lived happily ever after. Rubbish, you say. No, no, it's biblical. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But that can only happen if we open our being to the Spirit of God that flows in us. The ideal is that two lovers come together and their lives become so intertwined, they're like two vines that grow together until they're one inextricable cord. But it requires the love and nourishment of Christ. Those two vines have to be rooted in the true vine of Christ for that love to truly be nourished daily. Some years ago, I was running and came upon a damsel in distress. Her car was out of gas. And I offered to go run up and get gas. She said, oh no, somebody's already brought me gas. But the gas can won't work. I said, ma'am, if you will unplug the air spout, the wind will come in and you can pour out the gas. He said, oh, never knew that. Well, I ran on, my metaphorical mind engaged, because the biblical word for air is the biblical word for wind, is the biblical word for spirit. There are a host of people around the world saying, love doesn't work. But it's because they've never opened the air spout of their souls and allowed the wind of the Spirit to strengthen them, to nourish them, to empower them. The salamander climbed out. Love is as strong as death. Set your love like a seal upon my heart, like a seal upon your arm. Its flashes are flashes of fire. Children, theologians, the teller of fairy tales, they slice through all the external data to the very essence of things, the very essence of love. The question is, do we? May we pray together. Lord, you give us love strong enough to bind our hearts to another, to indeed make us like two vines inextricable. But in order to do that, we know we must open up our souls to your inflowing Spirit, your wind of love, that you may nourish and guide us. May we have that courage. Through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Even as